from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up, the last time Democrats were in the majority in the House of Representatives was 2010. Well, that changes when the 116th Congress convenes in January. They'll be back in the majority in the House, the Republicans, the majority in the Senate. What can we expect with a divided Congress? In just a moment, we'll talk with former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. And as the balance of power shifts now, the Democrats hold the majority in the House, and the House of Representatives, that is, with its large membership, will soon elect new majorities and minority leaders. Two high-profile Republicans have thrown their hat in the ring for House Minority Leader, Congressman Kevin McCarthy and Congressman Jim Jordan. We'll talk with the current House Majority Leader, Kevin McCarthy of California, and Representative Scott Perry will be here to talk on behalf of Jim Jordan as to what they envision the future looks like for Republicans in the next Congress. And on the heels of the midterm elections, we've crunched the numbers, and we're seeing that values voters helped President Trump defy history, building kind of a red levee, keeping the so-called blue wave at bay. We'll talk with FRC Action Director Brent Kylan as we break down the results here on this edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Okay, it's just been 2 days since Democrats won control of the House of Representatives. What does that mean for the president's agenda? What will Congress accomplish in the next 2 years? Will the new administration simply use its power to just harass the Trump administration? With us now is former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota. Michelle, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Great to be with you and your wonderful audience today.
Well, Michelle, you're no stranger to Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House. During a portion of your tenure in the House, she was the Speaker. What can we expect going forward in the 116th Congress?
Hi, Tony. I think that what we were going to see from Nancy Pelosi to begin with will be a certain amount of chaos. Unfortunately, there was a lot of fighting that we saw during the lead up to this election, and we're going to see a lot of fighting as soon as she receives the gavel in her hands again. She received the gavel in her hands the day that I was sworn into Congress. And they had a lot of chaos, just the behind-the-scenes organizing. There's a lot of jockeying right now for positions and influence among the Democrats in the party. And so what we saw yesterday already was a lot of tweets from supposed new committee chairs who are talking about bringing chaos to the Trump administration. So unfortunately, from the Democrats, we aren't seeing from them words of policies that would actually help the American people's lives move forward or the economy move forward. What we're seeing instead is personal vendettas against the president of the United States. I think that is their agenda moving forward, and that doesn't bode well for the American people.
Speaking of that, Michelle, yesterday the president in his press conference that lasted about 90 minutes, he touched on that issue. Here's a clip of what he had to say about the incoming Congress.
I really believe that we have a chance to get along very well with the Democrats. And if that's the case, we can do a tremendous amount of legislation and get it approved. I really believe there's going to be much less gridlock.
Is he playing nice in knowing that the Democrats will not work with him, or what's taking place here?
Oh, exactly. He's putting his best foot forward. He's extending an olive branch to them, saying, look, this is where he's very sincere. He's saying, I want to work with you. I want to have deals to help the American people. And I think he has talked about a few issues in the past that we can get some infrastructure projects done. In other words, let's get some roads, some bridges, some interchanges. Let's get airports built. He wants to do all of that. I think the Democrats, if they're smart, also will want to do that. But I think he's also very serious. He's been impacted by this drug problem. He wants to deal with that, and that's where he wants to shut the borders to drugs. Now, whether the Democrats will meet him on that or not, I don't know. But he's very serious about getting that done. The one thing that will happen, Tony, budgets will get passed. That's the main business of the Congress to pass budgets, to fund the government. They will pass those budgets. I think that as Democrats have said, we want to have socialized medicine. They've said we want to have a sanctuary country. In other words, have the American taxpayer pay for a new lifestyle for people coming into the country illegally. That is not going to happen. The Senate will stop that, and also President Trump will have to stop that. So the policy changes that will occur, Tony, will come from the pen of the president. He will continue to implement good policy decisions. I trust the president. He's done an incredible job. So as much as he can do on his own, he will do. He will work very close in hand with the Senate to pass even more great judges onto our federal courts. And the House, quite frankly, won't achieve their policy objective. Their goal is to make sure that he is not returned to the White House 2 years from now. And so they want to bring about personal devastation into his life. But I don't think they'll succeed.
Michelle Bachmann, you mentioned one item that the House has to do, and the current House didn't get a whole lot done legislatively, even though they were majority Republicans. They passed things through, but a lot of them died in the Senate, to give in fairness to the House. But the funding, you've got to fund government. And, of course, we've seen these continuing resolutions, the CRs, are just kind of a continuation of funding. But that has been a point of contention, where we've come to these points of government shutdowns, and the Republicans have always been afraid that they would own those shutdowns and the public would be against them. Is now the shoe on the other foot? Now, will the Democrats, if they try to hold the president hostage with their big bloated budgets, will they be owners of a government shutdown?
No, because it never works that way. Because when you have a media that has proved themselves to be 99.999% the press secretaries for one political party, the Democrat Party, we will never see them cast in the frame of obstructionists. The president, in all likelihood, will do that. He has an incredible microphone, and his reach is broader and deeper than any prior president ever before, because he's such an effective communicator. However, I think we will continue to see continuing resolutions, and we will see budgets passed. We won't see the government shut down. We will see budgets passed, and be prepared, because the Congress will spend a lot more money than what is coming in. So we will continue to see, unfortunately, spending.
You talk about the media, because the media has been a major factor. They've openly now the opposition party to Donald Trump. Now with the Democrats, with Nancy Pelosi, if she's the one that has the gavel in the House, I feel very confident they're going to give her as much of a platform as she wants to counter the president. But I wonder if that may backfire on Democrats, because, you know, we know her popularity rating with the American public is not high. And so for 2 years going into the 2020 election, if she is the face and the voice of the Democrats in this country, that could backfire on the left.
Oh, Tony, you're exactly right, because she hasn't exactly propelled them to stardom with her recent performance in the last year. In particular, and I don't mean this in any negative sense, I feel great compassion for her. It appears that she may have some physical problems going on with her, because she's unable to speak correctly. She stutters, and she seems to have brain freezes. And so if they were smart, this is what they should do. If she wants to retain power, and she's very good at retaining power, then she should really step into the background and have another spokesman be at the microphone every day, because she's not good at it anymore. And she could pull the strings of power in the background. She also has to have more control over her committee chairs. We've seen how wacky Maxine Waters is, for instance. She will be the new chair of Financial Services Committee, a committee I sat on for 8 years. If she is making crazy pronouncements and putting forth crazy legislation on that committee, people are going to be upset and they will react. The same with Jerry Nadler, who has said that he's ready to issue subpoenas to the President of the United States for making a personnel change. He just called for Jeff Sessions' resignation as Attorney General yesterday. The president has 100% authority to do that. There's no reason to investigate something like that. That's absolute craziness. So if the left, if these far leftists in the Democrat Party in the House, these committee chairs, continue to pursue this type of wildness and make these wild pronouncements, then they're going to be in trouble, and the American people are not going to reward them in the ballot box 2 years from now. And something you had brought up, this issue with Tucker Carlson yesterday, where we saw these protesters out in his yard really threatening physical violence, where they were, one at least, took their body and body slammed into his front door while his wife was in the house and cracked his front door, shouting, "We know where you sleep." I mean, this kind of thing is going to cause an incredible reaction from the American people, and they will have no chance in regaining power or pursuing advancing their power in 2020.
Yeah, that's all designed to intimidate and to silence. I mean, we've been seeing that here, even at the Family Research Council, for the last half decade, where we even had the gunman come in here shooting.
That's right. That's serious business.
People.
That is serious business. And FRC was targeted. And this is where, again, FRC, I congratulate FRC. I congratulate your leadership and the supporters of FRC, because this also shows the effectiveness of this organization. And because of your effectiveness, I believe that that helped to hold up the red wall, so to speak, of support for this president and his agenda going forward. And it really is thanks to the work and leadership of FRC that we saw such an effective holding back of the changes that were intended in the ballot box just 2 days ago.
Well, I appreciate that, Michelle. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad you've joined us on this Thursday afternoon. My guest is Michelle Bachmann, former congresswoman from the state of Minnesota. Let me ask you this, Michelle, because you were there. You saw it up close. Will Nancy Pelosi be able to keep the Democratic members of the House together, because she doesn't have a whole lot of wiggle room? And it was hard for the Republicans oftentimes for Paul Ryan to keep them all together before him, John Boehner. Did the Democrats stick together better than the Republicans?
I would say yes, actually. I think that they do. They're very much used to a command and control organization. And I think she will make the decisions with a couple of other lieutenants, and the rest of her generals, so to speak, will be told what to do. And if they don't do it, they will lose their gavels and their committee assignments. Here's the difference now. In this election, what is distinctive about the 2018 election, Tony, is the fact that the Democrats elected Democrat socialists. And this really is the new base of the Democrat Party. The principles of socialism are at the fore, and there will be a strong effort to put socialism into place, but thank goodness she won't be able to because of a Republican president and a Republican Senate.
Amen to that. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, thanks so much for joining us.
God bless you, Tony.
All right, always great to talk with you. All right, folks, coming up next, who will be the next House Minority Leader? Congressman Kevin McCarthy is putting his hat in the ring. He joins us next to cast his vision for the Republicans in the 116th Congress. That's next. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come. Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachmann, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Choosing the right candidate to vote for can be difficult with all the media spin and political rhetoric. Each candidate will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to protecting your religious freedom, standing for family values, and defending the sanctity of human life. FRC Action will be traveling across the country on our values bus. We want to keep you up to date on the latest inside news from the campaign trail and inform you about each candidate's positions on our country's most vital issues. Go to valuesbustour.com for more information. Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad that you are with us on this Thursday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right. In January, when the 116th Congress convenes, the Democrats will control the House of Representatives. I know, scary thought. But that means that the GOP will have to relinquish the gavel, the majority leadership. So that means the Republicans will then select leaders, what's called the minority leader. That's of the minority party, and then they have their leadership team. With us now is Congressman Kevin McCarthy. He represents the 23rd Congressional District of California. He is currently the House Majority Leader. That's number two guy under the Speaker. And he has announced his bid for House Minority Leader in the 116th Congress. Kevin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you so much for having me back. I always enjoy being on your show.
Well, I appreciate that. It's always good to have you on and continue our conversations. I mean, looking back on the 115th Congress, we actually had some significant gains and victories, but Tuesday night was not one of them. You know, I'm sure you're disappointed like so many of us.
Look, I'm disappointed, but don't misread this election. This president did a great job. History says since World War II, that a midterm election, meaning the off year, meaning the first off year of a new presidency, you lose more than like 36 votes. Remember what happened to Barack Obama?
Yeah, he lost 63. Yeah.
So, and there's reasons in here why. Okay, so we're playing against history. It played just like history said, not like when Obama lost so many. There was also a green wave that went through this place. 150 million was spent more on the other side. Michael Bloomberg wants to run against the president. He gave the Democrats $100 million on top of everything else they raised. So when you look at races across the country where they were out raising, but he went in and put $5 million individually at a time. He tried to determine the Georgia governor's race, but what he did, mm-hmm. he beat Karen Handel in there. She had $5 million extra against her. And that's very difficult when you go through some of this. And some of these seats we lost, we will win back. Dave Bratt's seat in Richmond is one of the strongest Republican seats. You look at Steve Russell's seat in Oklahoma. We will win that back.
Yeah,
because a number of these Democrats promised they would not vote for Nancy Pelosi. And the very first vote they're going to take is they're going to break their promise to the individuals. And remember what's coming back. It's like a scary movie. But it'd be Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, and Clyburn. These are the same people that America rejected when they tried to make government so large and take over their lives. And the Democrats did not win by having an agenda. Think about what we were able to achieve. And you were right by saying the achievements we made, but it's not just you. The Wall Street Journal actually went through in an editorial, I think it was just last week, said it was the most conservative, comprehensive Congress in effect in more than 20-some years. That is amazing. Why? Because look at the economy today. Do you realize in the last 49 years in America, unemployment has only been below 4%, 11 months in those 49 years, and more than half of those 11 months, six of them, you just lived through. And there wasn't right. one Democrat who voted for that bill in the House nor in the Senate. And think of this. We have been the most pro-life Congress you've ever had. You've watched that time again. Think about what Micah's Law we've been able to pass. All those Title X funding, what we've gone through to pass. The defunding of Planned Parenthood, the no taxpayer funding for abortion and insurance disclosure. This Congress, when you rate it simply on the number of bills that are passed, most effective in more than 30 years. We've had challenges in the Senate, but with this last right. election, with more senators, more successful. Now, the Democrats are going to have a smaller majority than we did. They're going to have a very hard time being successful. Now, our very first goal is to make sure we move America forward. We're in the minority, but America comes first. Our next goal is to win back the majority. I'm not running for the minority leader. I'm running to be the Republican leader. And you know what? You watched me when I came in. I came in the last time we went into the minority in 2006, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I created Young Guns. And that was the year in 2010 when I recruited that we defeated 63 Democrat incumbents. We've won this in a bigger hill to climb than we have today. I believe we'll win this back next time because a lot of these seats that have lost, they're in areas that Trump won. And you found policy. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just saying strategically, you know, with Nancy Pelosi then setting the agenda, what's the plan in terms of helping the president move forward with an agenda that I think clearly the American people, at least the majority of the American people, embrace?
They do embrace it, and we have to be very clear and distinctive about what our differences are. You know, there is a clip of Nancy Pelosi just a few days before the election in a rally in San Francisco saying she's proud of her San Francisco values. She may be proud of them in San Francisco, but the rest of the country is not. You know, in San Francisco, in that election, if you were illegal, you could vote in the school board races. Mm-hmm. We put that on the floor, condemning that. 140 Democrats went against that because they support that. I do not believe, and tell me what was their agenda that they ran on, that they'd impeach the president, that they'd abolish ICE, and they'd do a takeover of government, the health care, and bankrupt Medicare. Now, they had an overwhelming amount of money. They were not as successful as they thought they would be. That's why we don't wait until swearing-in day. We start today. Now, our policies are exactly what they should be. We need to move America forward. We need to solve, from one point, our debt problem. We've got growth coming. We've got the military being rebuilt. We combated human trafficking online. That is now taken away. We looked at our combating the opioid problem. We've got to deal with welfare reform. We've got an infrastructure challenge in here. Those are all policies that we're going to continue to lead on. We've got to secure the border. We're going to continue to lead on all those things. What will the Democrats? If the Democrats propose a policy and a principle that we don't believe in, we're going to stand up and show them a solution that's different.
But you will not capitulate.
Not one day, not one iota, and we're gonna challenge them on what they said they would do and all their broken promises.
All right. Well, I know we got a lame duck to get through first, and I'm hopeful we'll get some things done in the next few weeks. But we'll see you back in Washington next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us, Kevin. Kevin McCarthy, House Majority Leader. All right, when we come back, Jim Jordan has also put his hat in the ring, and Congressman Scott Perry is here to talk on his behalf about his vision for the Republicans in the 116th Congress. That's next. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come. Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Are you ready to vote? Which candidates are actually speaking up for you and your values? Choosing the right candidate to vote for can be difficult with all the media spin and political rhetoric. Each candidate will either be a part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. You can be a part of the solution and make your voice heard by pledging to pray, vote, and stand for your values. FRC Action will be traveling across the country on our Values Bus to meet values voters like you this fall. We want to keep you up to date on the latest inside news from the campaign trail and help to inform you about each candidate's positions on our country's most vital issues. Go to valuesbustour.com for our tour dates, voter guides, and so much more. Be a part of the movement. Pledge to pray, vote, and stand for your values. Again, go to valuesbustour.com and be a part of the movement.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Thursday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. Okay, continuing our conversation, the 116th Congress, which will convene in January, will be led by a new speaker and a new party. The Democratic Party will be leading. The Democrats will be leading after capturing the majority of seats in Tuesday night's election. So that means there's going to be new leadership for the Republicans. The Republicans will then be in the minority, and so they'll have what's called a minority leader and then a kind of a team of leaders around that. Well, we just heard from Kevin McCarthy. He has put his name in to be the leader. But Congressman Jim Jordan, good friend of ours, founding chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, is also running for the minority leader to lead up the work of Republicans. And he couldn't be with us today, but I wanted to do this back-to-back. So he's asked Congressman Scott Perry, another great conservative leader who's a friend of ours, to speak on his behalf. In fact, Congressman Perry just won his reelection for the 4th Congressional District seat in Pennsylvania, which was pretty tough up there in Pennsylvania in this cycle. Scott, welcome back to Washington Watch, and congratulations.
Well, thank you, and it's thanks for the opportunity. Great to be with you and your audience today.
Well, let's talk about the challenges that are ahead and what Jim and the conservatives have planned.
Well, of course, we're going to have leadership elections, and it's based, of course, as you already highlighted, that we will be in the minority. So, of course, you lose the speaker's position. Now, Paul Ryan was leaving anyhow, so. But the issue, I guess, is that many of us feel like we ought to have a campaign and an election for the leadership, just like we did in Congress, where those who are seeking these offices should tell us what they plan to do, what differences they would make if they were so elected, and how they will lead. And right now it looks like the leadership elections for the Republicans are called next week as soon as we come back in. and you have new members that will have very little interaction with the people that are running. And you will have the current members that are going to return. We'll kind of know what the deal is, but we'll have little time. When I say what the deal is, they'll know obviously the candidates, but what they don't know is what's the future? What would each individual do if given a leadership position, Tony? And I will tell you from a standpoint, from my own personal standpoint, I watched the Democrats do crowdsource fundraising in the race that I just won, where in the past, well, let's just put it this way. The race cost about 10 times more than it did the last time I ran and the time before that, 10 times. And it was mostly because of Democrat and liberal crowdsource fundraising. And our team had zero answer to respond. I was out there on my own just fighting it out. And I want to know what we're going to do, what our leadership's going to do to respond to that. And if they think we're just going to vote for them, because, look, they're all nice people, and I like them. Of course, Jim is a close friend. I've known Kevin McCarthy since we were in Young Republicans together. It's not a question of popularity or who's nice. The country's future is at stake, and if we got to see somebody with a plan. What's the plan to stop Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats from impeaching the president, impeaching the vice president, and Justice Kavanaugh? What's the plan to stop them from socializing, so to speak, or putting in a socialist government all across the country? And if somebody can't articulate a plan, it's going to be hard to earn my vote, quite honestly.
Well, and we've seen, and I've been here now 15 years, and so I've watched this cycle many times, and I would argue that even with the losses that we saw on Tuesday night of Republicans, that we're now seeing we have a probably the most conservative Republican caucus in modern time, and it's become increasingly more conservative ideologically. We were coming back in the 116th, there'll be no openly pro-choice Republicans in the Congress. So I would think that the leadership would be reflective of that.
Well, Tony, here's the case, and I think you know this well. Of course, everybody that's running for office, whether it's for the leadership in the House of Representatives or for a seat in Congress in their local districts, will tell you, if you elect us, we will cut taxes. If you elect us, we will reduce government spending. If you elect us, we will be pro-life and we will fight for the pro-life causes. And then when they get to Washington, D.C., we kind of hear, well, it's not the right time. It's too hard. We can't get the vote. Somebody else doesn't like it. It's good. The Senate won't pass it. There's 50 excuses every single time why it can't happen. And quite honestly, I didn't come to Washington, D.C. I didn't fight to get to Washington, D.C. to hear that. I fought to get to Washington, D.C. to fight for my country and the causes and the issues that are important to me, not just give lip service to them. And I want to elect a leader and representatives that give me a plan on how we're going to do that and have a proven track record of actually going and fighting for the things that are important to us, not just talking about it. And I think we're going to see that difference this time.
Well, and I think certainly Jim Jordan has that record of being a fighter. And I know since you've been here, you as well. In fact, the entire Freedom Caucus is a team we highly esteem. Congressman Scott Perry, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much. And again, congratulations on your victory.
Well, thank you. And thanks. And God bless you and your audience.
All right. Thanks so much. Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania's 4th Congressional District. He did have a tough reelect because Pennsylvania kind of went, they did have a little bit of a blue wave there. All right, when we come back, we're going to break down what FRC Action did in this election. Brent Kylan, executive director of our sister organization, FRC Action, joins me. Don't go away. We're back right after this. Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the 5-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer to these questions should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, claiming they are ineffective and harmful. But are they? Studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. To find out more, visit frc.org/SOCE.
Choosing the right candidate to vote for can be difficult with all the media spin and political rhetoric. Each candidate will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to protecting your religious freedom, standing for family values, and defending the sanctity of human life. FRC Action will be traveling across the country on our values bus. We want to keep you up to date on the latest inside news from the campaign trail and inform you about each candidate's positions on our country's most vital issues. Go to valuesbustour.com for more information.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. Thanks so much for joining us. And by the way, as we did that coverage last night, we had Facebooked live, and we had a lot of folks watching on Facebook and sending in responses. Appreciate that. We're going to do that from time to time as we've got special things going on, especially when we want to show some videos, because there's going to be a lot of material to work with when Nancy Pelosi has the gavel. And Maxine Waters is sitting in the chairman's seat. We're going to have a lot of video to work with, a lot of material. Anyway, look, people have been saying, all right, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? People disappointed in Tuesday night's election that the Republicans lost the House. Look, would I prefer to not have lost it? Absolutely. But there's more than a silver lining here. First off, Kevin McCarthy made reference to history earlier, and we actually have. We defied history here. Now, on the House side, it was pretty much in line with the historical average of the number of seats lost in from the party of the president in the first his first midterm election. The Senate historically loses about four seats. We've gained two, maybe three. We're still kind of waiting on all the votes to be counted. And then we saw yesterday the president. We played a little clip of this, the president and his press conference, and he's not backing down. He's not giving an inch to the media or to the Democrats. Now, here's what's going to happen. Is that Nancy Pelosi or whomever on the Democratic side is going to have the gavel, and the media is going to give them all of the airtime they want. They're going to give all the airtime that the committee chairmen want, that are going to be pursuing this administration and threatening them with subpoenas and investigations and on ad nauseum. And that's a good thing. because I when I was a reporter years ago, what I would do, and it was a different kind of a format. It was kind of a it was a longer interview. It was kind of like radio, which I like. You get more than the 30-second soundbite. You actually ask people questions, and I love to ask people questions and just let them talk. And so what I would do is I would interview both sides, and I would just let them talk. And they made the case for me, the liberals. They made the case just by letting them talk. And so by giving Nancy Pelosi and crew the platform, I think America is going to have a clear contrast, a clear choice going into the 2020 election. So I think that's a good thing. So don't, you know, look, we are called to be faithful, okay? We just need to do our part, do our duty. The results, they're up to God, okay? So we pray for government, we pray for our communities, we pray for our, we pray. And in fact, Jesus said, that, you know, man ought to pray and not lose heart when he told the parable about the widow and the unjust judge. So let's pray. Continually pray. Pray for our country. Pray for what God would have you to do. We voted. We should vote in every election. And then we stand. You know, that was our theme going into this election. It's our theme coming out of this election. It's our theme going into the 2020 election. It's our theme. Pray, vote, and stand. And so we just continue to stand for the truths, whether they're in the majority or the minority. Doesn't matter. We stand for those truths. Now, speaking of the 2020 election, I mean, we're already breaking down the numbers from what happened here in this midterm election, and we're going to regroup and go into the 2020 election to make sure that your values, my values, those values that made this nation a great nation are represented in Congress and state legislatures across the country. And joining me now to talk about kind of what took place in this past election, because leading up to Election Day, Family Research Council Action, which is the sister organization of FRC. Now, let me just put this disclaimer out there so it's very clear. FRC, Washington Watch, we do not endorse or oppose candidates. We talk about issues, we talk about races, but we do not endorse candidates. Now, FRC Action, they do. They get involved. They had organized a fleet of four buses that were on the road leading into the election, making about 100 stops in over a dozen battleground states. They organized the distribution of nearly 2 million voter guides targeting what we call SAGE cons. Those are the spiritually active, governmentally engaged conservative Christians. They were in churches. They had 140 pastor events in 19 states. They knocked on 427,000 doors in these targeted states of like Indiana, Missouri, North Carolina, North Dakota, and put out a number of social media oriented videos and ads that were viewed more than 7 million times. The numbers show that the effort had a major effect on several key races. And with us now is Brent Kylan, who is the director of FRC Action. Brent, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Good to be with you.
So have you caught your breath yet?
You know, we're working on it. As you mentioned, our bus tours launched at the Values Voter Summit over a month and a half ago. There are thousands of races. You know, a lot of the focus has been on the federal, but when you get into the state and local, all of those are very important. So there was a lot to do, a lot of activity, especially as we got closer to our Get Out the Vote efforts with the elections. So we're catching our breath still, but overall pleased with what our team was able to do. And I thought we saw some very positive things happen on Tuesday.
Well, we'll get into some of the specifics of the key races in the Senate, because there's a project that FRC Action spearheading called Bold Advance, which actually came out of the 2016 election, identifying a handful of targeted states where there were important Senate races like Missouri, like Indiana, like Ohio, Florida, and North Carolina. Not that they had a Senate race, but had an important House race there, and that's a swing state. But overall, I understand 85% of the candidates that you endorsed, that FRC Action endorsed, won.
That's right. That's right. Really encouraged by that. There's the old saying that there are three types of people out there. There are people that make things happen, people that watch things happen, and then people say, what happened? And our goal with FRC Action PAC is to get those candidates in office who are going to make things happen, who are going to be champions for these issues. And it felt like we were able to play a part in helping with that. We endorsed the highest number of endorsements we've ever done in a single election cycle, over 200.
And you actually had a lot of people wanting that endorsement. I mean, you probably one of the reasons you made more endorsements is because, and we vet these candidates. These mm-hmm. candidates are vetted when you make those endorsements. Yeah. But you had people knocking at your door wanting that endorsement.
Absolutely. Starting really last year, actually, we were very full all the way up until we were literally getting requests a couple days before the election, people saying, hey, can you come out and help in this district? And we were able to do that. So excited to do that. And we do vet these candidates. You know, the big chunk of endorsements are at the federal level. And we had over 150 true blue supported candidates. What that is people that we have scored their votes as a member of Congress. They've got 100% rating on life issues, religious liberty issues, things like that. And at the House, U.S. House level, over 90% of those won, 91% won, which I think tells you if you're willing to come to Washington and stand for the issues that you ran on, these types of issues, the voters will stick with you. We also endorsed 8 true blue candidates for U.S. Senate. 6 of those won as well. So for those candidates who have come and actually stuck by those promises, stuck by those values, worked hard for those, they had a very good day on Tuesday.
And let's talk – I think I mentioned this yesterday briefly on the program, but in those states that FRC Action targeted, those just a handful of states, because, I mean, look, you don't have all the resources in the world, so you want to make it count, get a good return on the investment that that the supporters of FRC Action made. But the evangelical vote overall was about 26% of the voting population nationwide. But in those targeted states, it was much higher.
Mm-hmm. It went up noticeably in those key states. One example is Missouri, where I think we saw an uptick of about 3 to 5% percentage of the evangelical support. We did a lot there. We actually had combined over 30 events on the ground there. We had briefings for regional leaders showing them what issues are at stake, providing the materials to support that. We talked a lot about it in 2016 with these party platforms. Tony, 2018, that was still a big issue for local leaders. What do the party platforms actually say? That was flying off the shelves. And then closer to the election, distributing those voter guides, then doing the voter contacts. And we saw a great result there. You know, Josh Hawley winning that race.
Right. And that's huge. I mean, he is going to be – The Senate, usually people that go to the Senate to just kind of be there. I mean, it's not like the House. The House is kind of, you know, it's noisy. Things happen. The Senate, you go over there and you think everybody's asleep. I mean, he's young, 38 years old. He is a constitutional attorney, religious freedom focused. He actually worked with us on our Pulpit Freedom Initiative, which we were a part of with Alliance Defending Freedom. He was one of the attorneys before he was in office to represent pastors. He believes strongly in the religious freedom, and he's not afraid. He's mm-hmm. a strong believer. He's not afraid. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing, as I made reference to in the last segment. What's happened in the 15 years I've been here, with each successive election, we've seen more men and women of faith, believers, come to Washington, which is significant because those that have a relationship with the Lord, they trust in the Lord, they don't have the fear of man. and they're not concerned about what the polls say. If they win, they win. If they lose, they lose. But they're committed to serving the Lord, and that makes a huge difference.
Mm, it really does. And you know, along that vein, another candidate is Congressman-elect Mark Harris. In that very significant race, he's somebody who he's walked the walk before running for Congress. He's led on these issues. He's been a fantastic leader in his community. Stepped up to the plate, and that race. I mean, he was outspent there.
Three to one.
So very, very significant. They targeted his race as one of the ones that was supposed to flip if they were going to get the House majority back. Ran a great campaign. We were able to do a number of events there. Again, we did over 30 events between briefings, a bus tour. The FRC Action Values bus was there quite a bit. We did almost 60,000 targeted voter contacts, educating people on the issues at stake, where the candidates stood on these issues. That race was so close, Tony. He won by less than 2,000 votes, and excited to see him in Congress. We had another race we were able to be involved in where the candidate won, made the runoff by 5 votes. And so, you know, tell people, we ask ourselves,
5 votes.
5 votes. Does my vote make a difference?
Yeah.
I'm like, 5 votes. Can you imagine? Just half a dozen people voting the other way.
Wow,
different
that's
outcome.
Huge. All right. I mentioned a number of the things that were – anything else that I missed in terms of the activities that FRC Action was involved in?
You know, you mentioned the voter guides. We were excited about that. We know that people are looking for those types of resources. So we distributed an estimated 2 million of those across the country, heavily focusing on these key states. And then I think you already mentioned – but social media activities. Digital is so important. You can reach people like never before. You can tailor messages like never before. So we were able to run some specific ads, some specific messages, and be effective online as well.
And when you look at these things we're talking about, like about almost 10 million of social media views, 2 million emails that were targeted emails. These are not nationwide. These are targeted mm-hmm. in these handful of states that you were focused mm-hmm. on. So this was a pretty heavily concentration mm-hmm. of these messages going into those key states.
It really was. And we have a lot of analysis out there able to tailor the message. We know what issues resonate with these people. We've been able to do studies. We've got a lot of feedback talking with them face-to-face. And then we're able to go out and explain how that impacts the election, how their vote will impact those. So we're able to do a lot of targeting to our voters.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Brent Kylan, my guest, executive director of FRC Action, just kind of giving an overview of the activities that supporters of FRC Action underwrote in this last election that literally moved the needle in some of these key races in the Senate, defying history. Not only did the president's party not lose 4 seats, but they could be on the path to gain 4. They've got 2 now. There's still some races, and we're almost out of time, Brent. But there are still some races, even some House races, that are too close to call. Some of those in California, where one of the buses were.
Yes, we had a bus visiting 7 key congressional districts out in California, and a lot of those, again, were states or districts that the other side was targeting to gain majority of the House. 2 of those have been called, 2 of the 7, but 5 are too close to call. And then the ballots are trickling in for these next couple of days. So some very close districts there, and other races as well.
Well, we obviously will be talking about that more next week as those numbers come in. Brent, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Great job.
Thank
out
you,
there
Tony.
On the bus all across America. All right, folks, thanks so much for joining us. Out of time for today, but we're going to continue tracking these numbers as they come in over the next several days. So until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.